You are listening to the Evolve WMMA podcast, featuring women who go against conventional thinking to pursue their dreams. We know how crucial powerful role models are to your success and life. Well, you're in the right place. These athletes inspire, empower, and unleash excellence within a new generation of warriors as they rise and evolve into the best possible version of themselves through the power of mixed martial arts. Welcome to the Evolve WMMA podcast, the only top-rated women's MMA show dedicated to inspiring and motivating you, building your confidence, helping you master the path to success, and ultimately creating the life of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class athletes, professional fighters, coaches, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success and happiness in life. So get ready to dismantle old, worn-out paradigms that no longer serve you or our culture. Ditch mindsets that paralyze you from reaching your dreams and discover the new path to evolve with your host, Shelly DeMine, as she brings you the greatest upcoming fighters on the planet to discuss the most powerful ideas for your personal growth, achievement, and evolution. Hey, 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 everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Evolve WMMA podcast. I have to tell you, I am so thrilled to be back here in 2021 to be again, once again, interviewing these extraordinary and amazing athletes. So this week's interview, well, I interviewed our guest twice already, once back in 2019, just before her fight against Deanna Bennett at Invicta 34, Porto versus Gonzalez, where she lost by judge's decision. You can go back and check out that in-depth interview on iTunes or YouTube at Evolve Women's MMA. It's episode 53, The Importance of Strong Father Figures for Daughters. And then her and I touched base for a second time just before COVID hit, after she avenged herself with a nasty, nasty submission neck crank win over Bennett during the Invicta FC Phoenix series. If you haven't seen that series, you got to go back and watch it. There's a lot of great fights on it. And then it was pretty much after defeating Pearl Gonzalez in the co-main event at Invicta FC 39, Frey versus Cummins 2. And that episode, when I did interview her for the second time, was episode 64, using all her God-given talents to the best of her ability. So if you haven't listened to those, go back, listen to them on iTunes, like it, you know, leave a review too, because we really like to hear what you liked about the show, how it might have inspired or motivated you. And then you'd think after those two wins, because they were big fights, she would have been the next challenger for flyweight champion Vanessa Porto in, you know, for the flyweight title at Invicta. But as luck would have it, no, scratch that. Hard work, perseverance, prayer, and focus. This 22-year-old Invicta prospect was picked up by the UFC before a fight with Porto could have been scheduled. How awesome is that? And she has since fought twice for the UFC. Last year, defeating Liana, who I think it's Ruha, via TKO in the first round at UFC 254. And then again, she fought more recently, just this past March in 2021 at UFC 260, winning again via unanimous decision against a really tough opponent, Jillian Robertson. And now, even better, she is scheduled to fight again and face Macy, the future barber. Isn't that a funny name? The future barber at UFC Fight Night on July 24th, 2021. Can't even wait to see your fight again, but I'd like to welcome to the show once again, UFC, I love saying that, flyweight, they keep saying prospect, but she's more than that. She's an awesome fighter, Miranda, Fear the Maverick, as she sets out paving her own way. Wow, Miranda Maverick in the house. I am like so psyched. It's been a whole year since this is even my like returning debut for the Evolve WMMA podcast. I haven't done anything during COVID. And you're the first one back on the show. I'm so excited for you because the last time we talked, you won a huge tournament. We had talked about all of your goals and, oh my God, you're achieving them. I'm a mother and you're like, you know, this beautiful young woman who has come up really ahead of her time very quickly. And is now in the UFC. You've had two wins in the UFC last year. You're working on another one coming up in July. I just want to say congratulations and woohoo, celebrate. You know, like it's so exciting.
Yes, so exciting.
Are you like psyched? You got this big fight coming up in July. You just pretty much it's news now. You're going to be facing Macy Barber. And how are you feeling about all that?
I'm feeling really excited. You know, I'm not going to talk about game plan too much in any of my next interviews. I know she's probably smart like me and going to be watching the videos along with their coaches. So not going to give anything away for game plans, but I'm so excited to be facing her. She's another up and coming prospect, of course. I had hoped they'd wait for us to face each other until we were fourth and fifth or farther down the line in our careers. But instead they're going to, you know, push one of us down the line, which is unfortunate, but it won't be me. I'm actually really excited for this matchup. I think it's a good match for me. She's well-rounded and it'll make me be able to show how well-rounded I am. And also will show how technical I am because Macy, I'll say from my perspective, isn't near as technical as me. And I'm ready to go out there and show that side.
Awesome. I know like fans are really anticipating this fight. They were like, oh, this is a fight we want to see. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good one.
I could have told you this was going to be the next fight because fans were really excited. They were like, ooh, now we should see Macy and Maverick, you know, the future versus the prospect for the future. And I was like, yeah. And like, this is actually the only person I've ever fought who's younger than me, which is crazy that she is. You know, I give her kudos for that. She got to the UFC when she was very young. She's done pretty well for herself. But hey, there's another young gun on the block.
Yeah, exactly. So this is really great. I'm not sure that it is, but I know like Misha Tate has come out and she was going to fight in July, but I don't know actually what's happening. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And I was wondering if you guys were going to be on the same card, but that's not the case.
No, it's not the case, or at least not right now. Her card, I can't remember what exact date it is, but it's a little bit earlier than mine, I believe.
Yeah.
But that's exciting too, that she's gotten back into it. But yeah, for right now, it's just, me and Barbara on the card and then Aspen Ladd versus Macy Case or Chasen. So those are the only two I think so far that they have on the card. So who knows? I'm hoping, obviously I'm hoping for main card, but hopefully even higher up than that. Maybe it'll be an all women's card. I don't know.
That would be awesome. I would love to see that. We haven't seen that from the UFC, but that would be amazing if they ever did that. I know you came from Invicta. Invicta gave you a really good ride. And then after, you know, kind of after that fight, it was, I would think a little bit disappointing because you didn't get a title fight, but you got into the UFC. Last year, you got two fights in. How did that go? Because it's like COVID was there. Did you go to Abu Dhabi or...
It was. So I didn't have two fights last year, but I have one a few weeks ago and then one in 2020. I have had several opportunities to fight. It's funny. I'm now 2-for-2. Uh-huh. One time I went to Vegas, wasn't able to do it because of my eye surgery I ended up having when I was supposed to make my debut. Got there. It was like the day before weigh-ins, found out I couldn't fight. Then I had my fight in October against Liana Jojua in Abu Dhabi. That was super exciting. Obviously won that one. And then me and Jillian actually went back and forth trying to put together a fight time. She ended up having her Talia Santos fight because I had finals the week that she wanted to fight, and I just couldn't do it with school. And so then we got it rebooked for whatever date it was. I think it was like February 7th or no, 15th. It was the day before Valentine's Day. So we booked it then she got sick day of, and then we finally rebooked it again for March 27th, ended up fighting, won that one very recently. Hence the
I was like, look at that cute little black guy.
It's actually not punch, which is funny. My coaches were like, when did you get hit? And I was like, I didn't. It's from when I got close to her and her head came up and hit me on the side. And then they used the little metal thing and ended up making the blood go over to there. But is what it is. But yeah, now this July 17th or July 24th one came up very fast against Macy. So I'm really excited about all that the future holds, and not only the UFC, but in the rankings.
That's flipping awesome. I feel like so proud of you and so like excited for you. And on the other note, I mean, we went into depth in, I think in one of my episodes, we spent like an hour and a half or something. This is before anybody knew you and anybody like knew what, you know, Miranda was all about, and, and, you know, the support that you have from your family, your faith in God, which is, you know, you meditate, you pray. That you were, you know, you set some goals, because I asked you this, and you have basically gotten very close to achieving all of them. I asked you three goals, and one of them was buying some land on, which I have to ask you about. Have you done that yet? Buying land or something, or building on family property or something like that.
Actually, this is really exciting news. I haven't really made it public yet. The contract is not signed quite yet, but I am under contract for two different properties actually connected to my dad's place. Going to be closing hopefully within the next couple months. I'm very excited. So yeah, that's
so great. That's really great. That's very exciting news.
It's very exciting. It's one of those things that's like a life goal, you know, and now it's coming true. And then it's matter of now what, you know,
like, yeah and then you've been studying for your PhD, and
not press on that one yet.
Yeah, like I think when we talked, it was what, 2 years ago or something, so you said it was going to take like three to five.
I had started on my thesis at that point, but now I'm almost done with my thesis. It's still taking a while, but I will be done with my thesis by, I believe it is. And then
that's in industrial psychology, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I'll have by June or July, I guess, is when they'll officiate it and stuff. But then I'll have, hopefully, this is on the back burner, but hopefully all my classes for my PhD done by December. And then after that, it's just a matter of passing qualifying exams and then doing my dissertation, which qualifying exams are very scary, very hard, and it's not a high rate of passing at this school. So I'm going to be working really hard on studying for those and almost give myself an extra semester just so I I have that studying down, you know. I don't want to risk it.
Wow. So you really set yourself, you have these goals, and plus now too, you're in the UFC. That was one of the other, that was the third goal. And you're there. And now you are striving to become, you know, a world champion. You're climbing that flyweight ladder, which is awesome and commendable. Of course, your family must be so proud of you. And back then when we talked, there was no boyfriend. There was no, there was no sexy Miranda. There was Miranda like in the gym, kicking butt. You're actually now a brown belt. I think when we last talked, you were a purple belt in BJJ. That's huge. I mean, doing that to get your brown belt is, I mean, ginormous. I have a son that trains in it, and he's still a purple belt. And I mean, he trains 24/7. He competes all the time as much as he can. And I'm thinking, wow, do you actually compete in BJJ at all?
I have not as well. Got into the UFC, but before that, actually during and that whole year before COVID, I was competing literally like every other weekend.
Yeah.
now I'm of the mindset, honestly, a very selfish mindset where I'm like, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And I have to get permission to do them all. Right. Two, I'm not trying to spend money on anything that's just for me to get practice when I get practice every day in the gym.
Right.
I don't want to take credit away from anybody doing jujitsu as a career.
Right.
Because I'm doing MMA, jujitsu is kind of my side thing now, and I'm not going to go and spend money in order to look good on that field of things. But there are some tournaments coming up that I'm interested in. I know that Chick Jiu-Jitsu has some that come up sometimes, Subspectrum. Mm-hmm. They do some where they actually pay the jiu-jitsu, the jiu-jitsu eras. So I'm really excited about those coming up. I'm always willing to do those tournaments and stuff like that when they come available, as long as they don't run in with fight camp, which is another problem. Mm-hmm. Two that I've signed up for recently have been during fight camps. And I'm also trying to do ADCC trials, though. I will be trying to do that in November if that becomes an option and I don't have a fight lined up at the same time.
All right. So here's the scales. Here's the scales. How do you balance it all? I mean, you got school, you got UFC training, fight camp right now, you know, like you're in fight camp. You got to eat, you got to sleep. You got a boyfriend, right? I want to hear more about that because he looks really hot.
We could get into that.
Do you train with him? How did you get to know him? Like, what's the deal? The inquiring minds want to know.
We could talk about that part. But how I actually do it all, it's kind of just like before. I'll show you my schedule. I just got done putting it up today, actually. I got a big one because I have my little bitty book and I can't fit everything on my little pages, right?
Yeah.
So I bought this thing off of Amazon and it's like half my wall and like you can't see it very well, but all my days are full, you know?
Yeah.
And I keep getting full as the weeks go on and I have more to write on each day. But like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for me are just excruciating. Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays are the most excruciating, and a lot of Sundays are really rough too.
Yeah.
The days are hard, but at least I don't have literally back-to-back meetings, work, and school. And you'll be excited to hear, and I can't disclose anything on this interview, but I also have a job lined up, so I'm really excited that's like in coordination with school, like my degree. So I'm very excited about that part. It'll only be 10 hours a week, so it shouldn't take too much, and I'm going to take that 10 hours away from whatever else I can. You know, I hopefully won't have as many classes in the upcoming semesters, and at least not math classes. And I'll be honest, like the statistics classes are what take it out of me. It's very hard to keep up with those, especially with COVID and it being online. It's just hard to explain how difficult it is to keep up with. This isn't basic statistics. I teach advanced statistics and behavioral statistics. This is structural equation modeling, hierarchical linear modeling, like all these different models that big businesses use, right?
Yeah.
So it gets very difficult, but that I'll credit my sponsors with a lot of it. I have a sponsor now for meal prep. That's helped a ton. Mm-hmm. I have sponsors that are able to send me funds now in exchange for what I do for them. That really just eases my life up. You know, it allows me to not have to have that stress on, oh no, how do I pay a phone bill? How do I pay this? How do I pay that? So my life, along with getting in the UFC and having other opportunities come up, has really helped me financially to ease a lot of that stress. Mm-hmm. Or even before, if I was busy, I'd say that half again more stress was added just because I didn't know how I was going to pay for everything. And it wasn't even, I wasn't living paycheck to paycheck. I wouldn't say that, but goals that I had told you about were just not feasible. You know, they weren't an option with my pay I was making. So now that is an option. I'm not having to work a full job at the same time. That's incredible. You know, I'm making the same amount that I would have made in 2 years' time, hopefully during my next fight, you know, from waitressing or whatever else. And so that's been exciting. And then my boyfriend, Pete's really taken up a lot of opportunities. Sorry.
Yep. That's okay. That's a great picture of you. I've noticed all these amazing, beautiful pictures of you lately. I'm like, wow.
Thanks. But he's also taken a hold of a lot of like silly chores around my house, you know, and dishes, taking care of laundry, meal prepping for me before I had a meal prep company, and then helping my stress and helping me take care of stuff. So, you know, all of it comes together and blessings from God. Like all this stuff has just landed in my lap and it's not me, you know, it's not just my hard work and stuff. It's me having that faith and getting I think it's all about using that potential that I'm getting handed.
Right. Now, do you still have time? Have you, like, this is a busy, tremendously busy schedule. Your time is your most valuable commodity right now, I would say. And yeah. And when you, how often do you meditate and pray? Like what, how long of a time period and when do you do it?
Weekends are probably more associated with like the time I actually get to sit down and think about stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like my dad and I actually pray every time we're on the phone, pretty much. Yeah. I talk to my dad and we'll kind of like say a family prayer. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm worse than what I need to be as a Christian. You know, like I don't pray after my food every time or anything like that as much anymore. Cause I'm eating all the time and like a snack. It's very, I'm sitting at a table eating. Like I can't think of the last time other than in a restaurant that I sat down, ate dinner, you know, like I needed to. But I pray with my dad a lot. And I'll honestly say I have a lot of spiritual talks with my dad now, all the way down to relationship advice, fight advice, friend, family advice, financial advice. And all of that always goes back to God and the opportunities I have. And so a lot of times we pray afterwards on the phone. And then, of course, I meditate before my fights a lot, a lot more during fight camps when I'm tired and exhausted and want to give up every single day, you know. Yeah. And pray right before I walk out to the fight, too. That's the most important prayers that I have and most meaningful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember you saying that you talk to your dad almost every night, right? Like, yeah.
A little less lately, which he doesn't like too much, but we still try to catch up. I talk to my dad more than anybody else by far.
Yeah. He's been a great support system for you. And I know that he's been able to coach you now from, you know, in the corner when you're at your fights. So that must have been a tremendous, a mom and, you know, like a dad and daughter moment. And it must have been really exhilarating for him as much as it was for you to be in the UFC.
I'd say more for him. You know, it's pretty funny, actually, like when he's in the corner, he's not necessarily coaching me. You know, he's there telling me the times, he's there cheering me on. He's the support. But as far as coaching, he leaves that to my coaches, but he is there. He's there for my mental strength, you know. He's my mental coach. I consider him that. And I share this thing, letting him live vicariously through me, to have these things, you know. To him, he gets a pair of shoes from Reebok or from the UFC and he's like wanting to frame them in an award cabinet, you know. And he's like, I never want to touch these again, this is amazing. Where he meets people like at my documentary I had a few months back, and he's like, I have Dan Severn phone number in my phone. Like, who would have ever thought, you know? Or
I didn't know you had a documentary made.
Yeah. So I'm in the documentary. It's not necessarily about me specifically, but it's called After the Cage or Life.
Very cool. I'm going to have to find that and I'll put it in, because I usually will include like a little article with this podcast and maybe I'll put a reference to it to help out. I love filmmakers and stuff.
Awesome. Did some sections over some previous MMA fighters, Matt Hughes, Dan Severn, Pat Miletich. They were all in it.
Nice. And
Jay Fish up there, that's close to the John Fish, Jay Fish. Anyway, like a few people that were close to the area that he was doing it in as well, in Michigan. And then he not only looked at people that were retired from the sport, but then brought up the rise of women's MMA and how it was evolving. So I got to be one of the people there. It kind of mended straight into Matt Hughes's, because I had farm life. He grew up farm life.
Right.
I actually got to go home and he videoed it there on our family's ranch. And so there's that aspect of my dad talking in the background. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was re-listening to our last podcast and just getting a little recount or back flavor of what you came up from. And we had talked about some of the silly things that your dad had got you to do. But I also, picking up, you know, fence posts and stuff like that, which I think is hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, no wonder she's so strong if she did that like her entire childhood. But what I picked up on that I didn't like during our talk is that it must have been a rough life for your dad and you and your siblings, because you were moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our whole family. Give my credit to my mom too. You know, she was around for a lot of that moving and stuff. And
yeah,
pulled on both my mom and my stepmom, that part of it, like having to take care of us kids during moving, during all this different stuff, and my dad being on the farm, getting stuff built, getting stuff moved around while having two little kids in diapers, and then me most of the time, you know?
Right. But your education and stuff, if you were being moved around and stuff, and here you are going for your PhD,
right?
I can't help but wonder, you know, like, you know, when we see so many young kids in crisis, you know, and have anger problems, and they come into mixed martial arts, maybe because of various different reasons to alleviate some of these issues that kids have at a young age. And you are definitely a different breed, for one. I mean, that's obvious.
Talked about a little bit before. We got into some deeper topics before, yeah. But I credit that a lot to how I was raised. I think kids feed off of how they were raised, and people can say as much as they want about, well, I tried to raise them right or whatever. Yeah. I think it's based on discipline, and that growing up, it wasn't just about jumping into martial arts to get disciplined. My dad already had me disciplined, you know, like through working my butt off, you know, they say that desperation leads to success, but it can also lead to extreme failure. And I think that's a matter of personal, like, do you have it or do you not? And for me, we moved around a lot. And to be honest, I skipped school for months at a time.
That's like, what I was thinking. How could you do what you were doing and get to school?
Exactly. About myself a little bit. If my dad was on here, he brags about it all the time, which is amazing. But I was gifted and or genius. Like, I was on that barrier. They do the testing and stuff like that. I was always in the advanced classes and was always like the year ahead, and so that was pretty cool growing up. But then when I moved, it actually helped me a lot, because I was already so far ahead that anytime we'd move, like, the only problem would be that I would have to repeat classes sometimes, and I'd be so annoyed because we'd move to some areas that just didn't have advanced school systems and others. So sometimes I'd basically redo a whole year of school over again because the next school wouldn't have as many advanced programs. And they're like, sorry, this is the highest class we can offer you. And I'm like, well, like, I remember I took Algebra 1 twice, and I was so mad because I was like, I want to learn more. I want to do more. But I had already taken Algebra 1 in like fifth grade. Like, I was really smart with math.
Right.
And then do it in sixth because we moved and the place opened out Algebra. They're like, well, we don't have anything else to offer you, you know.
Yeah.
Then I began and was able to get more advanced classes. So that was the only difficult part of it. But as far as everything else, you know, I think it helped me. I learned different cultures of people. I learned how to speak correctly and deal, you know, this kind of thing at a younger age than because my dad and parents in general weren't going to be coming into PTA meetings for me and stuff like that. They were like, we don't have time for that. And they can, you know, public school system's stupid, honestly. My brother and sister were homeschooled most of their lives. I would have been too, but nobody had time to do it for me to where I was homeschooling them once I got. So now they are in public schooling for high school, but that's more along the lines of because they can get more college classes that are dual credit, and they'll have that opportunity to do sports, where homeschooling is a little bit more difficult with that.
Yeah. So that's amazing. That right there is just an amazing tribute to where you have come from. Like, all these years, there's been a lot of hard work. I think that's one of the sound keys to part of your success as a strong female role model, because not only are you a professional athlete getting paid by top, and this is only, you're only like the second generation of this coming up, really, for fighters. The first generation, these were women that were already grown. They were grown women. You came in, you know, younger, you were able to see the progression. Your family could see the progression and the opportunity here for a young woman your age. So the very cool thing is, now that you have evolved into all of this stuff, you're reaching and achieving your goals, and now you have some time here. I mean, you're showing your femininity more than you did, I think, when I last spoke to you.
Yeah.
And this is, when we have more time, we're gonna hash this out, okay? Because I want to know more about this. I'll be better prepared, and you will have a little bit more time, maybe in July after your fight, And we can really sit down and hash this out, because I find this in you, my dear, very fascinating on how you have been able to do it. And I think it's such a worthwhile thing for younger girls coming up, or younger women, or even men, to see how it's done. This is how it's done. This is the path to success. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it.
I can talk about it a little bit, the whole femininity thing. One, I have a couple of photographers now that I am comfortable with. Obviously, I'm not doing pictures in lingerie or anything that to the extreme of showy. I try to make my pictures very complimentary to my body type, mm-hmm. complimentary to the hard work that I put in and what my genetics have done for me as well, but not to the point that it's too, I guess, sexual, really,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I try not to be that or seductive with my pictures. They're mainly just to show, like, this is the hard work I've done. I also, of course, I'm not going to lie and say I don't realize that it gets me more followers. It gets me more attention. Mm-hmm. But that is part of the game. This is an entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And some people go a little bit far, in my opinion, but that's a moral value code. That's not necessarily like, hey, they've got the road figured out. For me, that's not the road that I choose to be known for. Mm-hmm. I don't known for the girl with the big this or the big that or the pretty this or the pretty that. I want to be known as the girl who kicked ass in the octagon and had decent morals and also was able to show that I could be pretty and could have all these feminine values while also being a fighter. Mm-hmm. And I think I show that fairly well through my pictures and stuff, you know, and I try to also bring awareness to things that really bug me, not only on social media, but mental health wise and behavioral health. Like, I've tried to say all the way down to like body positivity, my view on that whole movement, mm-hmm. my view on feminism, my view on, you know, the meanness on social media, you know, down to the point of there's a whole page dedicated to Miranda Maverick looks like a dude on Reddit for a while there. I'm like, cool. Like, I really don't care what you have to say, but and people are like, don't give them time of day. And I don't in my own brain, but I think it's important for other girls of the sport and other girls growing up that look similar to me or have muscles and are made fun of, that they know that they're not alone. You know, like that happens all the time. When I was a kid growing up, I got called Manric 24/7, you know, like they thought it was funny. And people to this day still laugh when I tell them that. And I'm like, it is, it really is funny to me. But at the time, it's not funny. And when you're growing up and have that and you don't know, like I would go in the locker room and like hide in the stall to get changed. Mind you, I find it more comfortable to this day to get changed in a stall. That's not the point though. Is that I started that because of getting made fun of, you know. It's like, why do you have a six pack? That's weird, you know. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
I know. Like, I mean, when I was in Thailand and I'm a grown woman, and because I was doing Muay Thai kickboxing when I was over there, I was considered a lesbian, and I'm not a lesbian. I mean, it's fine, but that was what, and it wasn't like any of the Thais. It was like this American guy, oh, you're a lesbian. I'm like, no, I'm actually not. I just really like fighting.
Yeah. Like you said, it's not even that it's bad. Like those aren't negative features, but they're stereotypes that go along with it that aren't always true. And I'll say, I was going to say also in the femininity part, before I had a boyfriend, I probably wouldn't have done that near as much because I would have felt like it was taken a whole different way. Mm. You know, oh, she's trying to get attention. She's trying to find a man, get man attention, whatever the case may be. Right. Mm. I'm very secure with the person I'm with right now, obviously. And I feel like I'm able to do that in a secure manner and still feel like safe, or like people will leave me alone to a certain extent. They don't. You still have the creepers and the weirdos. Mm. People that are at least around me, you know, like know what it's there for, know what point I'm going to. But yeah, that part also helps with it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I know, like, prior to like even today's interview, we had spoken about, like, you know, you had felt back, you know, prior to the UFC that there was no like really guy that you weren't even devoting your time to any of that. Like you were just so focused on, you know, okay, I'm setting myself up for my life. You were so focused on creating your life. And you had said to me quite frankly that there hasn't been a guy that's measured up. you know, like that I've met yet that has even measured up. Not that you weren't looking, but you really weren't looking. You were kind of like, you know, it's just not my thing right now. I am here. And if somebody meets me here, great. And, and so that obviously has happened. When did that happen? Cause that, I mean, it's gotta be kind of fresh and new.
I met him and had the first date within like a day period. And it was, it's a funny story. You probably won't approve either, but, but it was May of last year. So during COVID and everything, which actually ended up being amazing because I actually got time to spend and know this person. Yeah. Whereas, or even now we talked about it. I'm like, if I met you now, like one, you would hate me. And two, we would never see each other. Cause I'd be like, maybe 20 minutes in 2 weeks. I'll have to spend with you, maybe.
So COVID's been a blessing. Yet another case of a blessing. You started a relationship with a really hot guy. And and I feel like, you know, we had, I'm keeping to my agreement with you. We said 30 minutes and it's been that. And I know you got to get going. You got studying to do. And even if you didn't, Miranda, and you just wanted a, like, you know, some space and time, I don't even care if that was a little white lie. I'm like, I get it. And no, and I can't wait to have
stuff to do. So it was the truth. I just don't have a class, luckily, to get right to, but I gotta get busy.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm fully, thank you for such short notice and even actually getting me amped up and back into the game and doing the podcast. Cause I love chatting with you and all the other female fighters that I've interviewed in the past. And I look forward to your up and coming fight. Why don't you announce it again before you take off, and any of your sponsors and anything else that you want to add?
Okay. Thank you. First off, thank you for having me. These really are like my favorite interviews pretty much. There's like this one with Don McGuire, you two are basically my favorites. But my fight is with Macy Barber, July 24th. So only a couple months away, or a few months away, I guess. Finally get some time to have a full fight camp for once and take a little rest between the last fight. So that's nice. Just a shout out to all my sponsors, really. You can go on my Instagram. I have a little deal running right now. If anybody goes and looks at my post that I've had lately, it talks about you get a free autographed picture if you go and support some of my sponsors and buy a certain amount of product from them. But my Instagram is at fearthemaverick_HOMT. I also have a lot of product for sale and stuff. Within the next few weeks, I'm hoping to have a website up. So I'm really excited for that too.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. Everybody, Miranda Fear the Maverick. Can't wait to see you fight in July. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed hearing from Miranda Maverick and thank her for being on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. It helps others find the show. On the review, mention Miranda Maverick and how she inspired or motivated you. If you'd like to learn more about her, you can check out Shelley's previous interviews, episode 53, The Importance of Strong Father Figures for Daughters, and episode 64, Using Her God-Given Talents to the Best of Her Ability. If you are eager to hear more from Evolve WMMA, never miss an episode by subscribing on iTunes, or if you prefer to watch, you can find a new episode on YouTube at Evolve Women's MMA. That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Shelley and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, head over to our Facebook at facebook.com/ILoveWMMA. Until next time, keep evolving. Thanks for listening.